Imagine getting advice from your bank to skip your mortgage payments. They promise you it's the best way to save your home, and you do exactly what they say. Then bam, you're hit with a foreclosure notice. Talk about a nightmare.
Oh, absolutely. It's a gut punch.
And that's the story we're diving into today, the case of Dixon v. Wells Fargo.
Yeah, Dixon v. Wells Fargo.
It's a classic David versus Goliath battle.
Right.
Homeowners against a banking giant.
Right. And this case is important for everyone because we'll be unpacking the concept of promissory estoppel.
Yeah, promissory estoppel.
Well,
it's the legal tool the Dixons use to fight back.
Uh-huh.
And trust me, this isn't just legal jargon.
No.
Understanding this concept could be a game changer.
Well, and what makes this case even more fascinating is the setting, right?
Yeah.
Think back to 2008. The financial meltdown. Foreclosures were happening everywhere, families losing their homes left and right. And the Dixons, Frank and Dina, they found themselves right in the middle of it.
Facing that same nightmare, yeah.
Exactly.
So they reached out to Wells Fargo, their lender, hoping for some kind of relief, a loan modification.
Right. They needed a lifeline.
And that's when things take a turn. Wells Fargo gave them some very specific advice.
Yeah, it wasn't just a vague suggestion like, hey, you know, tidy up your finances.
Right.
They explicitly told them to stop making their mortgage payments.
Wow.
With the assurance that those missed payments would be rolled into a new modified loan once they'd provided all their financial information.
So the Dixons, they trusted their bank.
Of course.
They did what they were told. They stopped making those payments, gathered all their financial documents, and waited. But instead of relief,
they got hit with that foreclosure notice.
I mean, how do you even process that?
It's heartbreaking. A classic example of what we call detrimental reliance. They took a huge risk based on a promise. And that reliance is a key part of what the court found so unfair in this case.
So the Dixons, feeling totally betrayed, decided to fight back. They went to court armed with this idea, this legal concept of promissory estoppel. Now, I know legal terms can sometimes be confusing.
Yeah.
So let's break it down. Promissory estoppel, what is it?
Well, put simply, it's about preventing someone from going back on a promise when the other party relied on that promise and got hurt because of it. It's like a legal safety net.
Okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
But couldn't Wells Fargo just say they were giving advice, not making a legally binding promise? I mean, where's the line between a suggestion and a real commitment?
Well, and that's where the specifics of what they told the Dixons become so important. The court looked at their instructions and said, hold on, these weren't just casual suggestions.
Right.
They were clear, specific conditions, requirements, really, presented as part of getting a loan modification.
I see.
That level of detail, those specifics, that's what turned their words from advice into a concrete promise.
And the Dixons, by following those instructions to the letter, they showed they reasonably relied on that promise.
Exactly. It wasn't blind faith. They acted based on what their bank told them to do.
And because they stopped making payments.
Which they did because of Wells Fargo's instructions.
They became vulnerable to foreclosure. That's the harm, the detriment they suffered.
Mm-hmm.
All because they trusted a promise that was broken.
Exactly.
It just seems like such a blatant disregard for basic fairness.
Yeah.
But wait, there's another twist to this case, right? Didn't Wells Fargo try to use a legal loophole to get out of this?
Oh, they did. They tried to play a legal trump card. They argued that a federal law, the Homeowners Loan Act, or HLA for short, shielded them from these kinds of state-level claims brought by the Dixons.
So they were basically saying federal law overrules state law, that HLA gave them a free pass.
That's what they argued, yeah.
Wow, did the court buy it?
Not at all. And this is where things get really interesting because the court's reasoning has some major implications. It goes way beyond this case.
Okay, I'm all ears. Tell me everything. What did the court say?
Well, the biggest takeaway for anyone listening who's a homeowner, get everything in writing.
Oh, that's good advice.
Yeah.
But it's easier said than done, especially when you're like desperate. You just want a solution.
Oh, absolutely. And lenders know that. They might even use that to their advantage. But remember the Dixons. They had an oral agreement, and those are really hard to prove.
Yeah, memories get fuzzy, stories change, and then suddenly, it's your word against the banks.
Exactly. So the key takeaway here, if your lender promises you anything about loan modifications, repayment plans, anything at all, document it. Write it down.
Emails, letters, even notes from phone calls. Anything you can use as proof later on.
That's right. Don't just rely on a handshake or good faith. Get it all in writing.
Because a verbal agreement can turn into a legal nightmare, just as the Dixons.
Hmm.
But this case isn't just a lesson for homeowners, is it? Lenders need to pay attention too, right?
For sure. This case is a wake-up call for lenders. It shows that even those casual promises can come back to bite them. And it's not just about avoiding lawsuits.
It's about ethics, too.
Exactly. Treat borrowers with respect, be transparent, don't make promises you can't keep, and don't try to use loopholes to get out of things. That's not how you do business.
Especially when people's homes are on the line. It's just wrong.
I agree. And this brings up another good point, documentation. Lenders should be documenting everything, too. All interactions with borrowers, especially about important things like loan modifications.
So everyone's protected, creates a better relationship, more trust.
Exactly. It's about accountability, building trust with the borrower. But let's step back for a minute. The Dixon case, it's not just about one couple and their mortgage.
Right.
It's about a much bigger problem. The power imbalance between lenders and homeowners, especially during tough economic times.
And the court in this case, they send a message, we see what's happening, and we're not going to let lenders take advantage of people who are already struggling.
Right. They basically said, we're watching, and we're on the side of fairness.
Courts are starting to really scrutinize lenders, hold them accountable. This case, it could be a turning point for the whole mortgage industry, maybe even a landmark decision. But hold on, before we go too far, there's that whole preemption debate we touched on earlier. The clash between federal and state law, we need to talk about that.
Oh, you're right. That preemption issue, that's maybe the biggest part of this case, really. And it's going to have a huge impact.
Okay, so no more beating around the bush.
Yeah.
What did the court say? And what does it mean for consumer rights in the future? All right, let's get to the bottom of this preemption debate. So Wells Fargo tried to use HOA, the Homeowners Loan Act, as a shield, saying it overrules state laws.
Yeah, they said HOA kind of trumps those state laws, like the one that allowed the Dixons to sue using promissory estoppel.
And that preemption argument, it gets to like the core of how much power states actually have to regulate lending.
Right, especially when it comes to these federal savings associations. It's this battle between federal and state power.
And the stakes are so high. I mean, if HLA just cancels out state laws, wouldn't that mean lenders could just ignore consumer protections?
That's the question, right? Does federal law create this loophole where lenders can play by different rules? But in this case, the court said no. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
They sided with the Dixons. They said that HLA doesn't preempt these state law claims based on promissory estoppel.
So good news for consumer rights. But I'm still not totally clear on the logic. How can the court say HLA applies in some areas but not others?
Well, it comes down to the distinction the court made. They said HLA might preempt state laws that directly conflict with its purpose. You know, specific lending regulations and all that.
Okay.
But promissory estoppel, that's different.
Different how?
The court saw it as a broader principle of fairness, something that applies everywhere, not just to lending.
Oh, I see.
It's about holding people to their promises no matter what business they're in.
So basically, the court was saying that HLA wasn't meant to give lenders a free pass to break promises and get away with it.
Exactly. And they were very clear that upholding promissory estoppel here didn't undermine what HLA is trying to do. It just makes sure that lenders, even those under federal rules, still have to follow basic ethical and legal standards.
It's not about letting states control everything. It's about finding a balance.
Yeah. Right?
Making sure federal law doesn't accidentally create a situation where fairness goes out the window.
That's it. And this is huge. It really reinforces those state-level protections for consumers. It says even if a lender is a federal savings association, they can't just hide behind HLA when they break a promise.
This feels like a big turning point, not just for mortgages, but for consumer rights in general.
Mm-hmm.
It tells lenders they can't operate in a bubble.
Right, ignoring ethics and the laws of the places they work in.
It's about remembering that the law is meant to protect people.
Absolutely.
Dixon v. Wells Fargo, it shows how courts can use tools like promissory estoppel to level the playing field. Make sure that even the big guys are held accountable.
That's the point. It's not just about punishing bad behavior. It's about preventing it in the future.
By making a firm decision, the court is encouraging lenders to be more careful about what they say, making sure those promises are clear, they're documented, and they're kept.
It's a good reminder that honesty and transparency and just basic fairness, those are important.
We started with the story of a family facing foreclosure, and we ended up talking about federal power versus state power, this legal tool called promissory estoppel, and the fight for consumer rights. It's obvious that Dixon v. Wells Fargo is way more than just one case.
Oh, for sure.
It's a powerful reminder that even when things seem stacked against you, it's possible to stand up for what's right and hold the powerful accountable.
Yeah, and it highlights the critical role that the courts play in protecting people, making sure that the law is used for justice, not as an excuse for bad behavior.
Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Dixon v. Wells Fargo. We hope you found it insightful, maybe gave you some things to think about.
I hope so.
Remember, knowledge is power. Understanding your rights is the first step towards protecting yourself. Until next time, stay curious and stay informed.